This is the IBJ podcast for the week of April 7th, brought to you by Taft. I'm Leslie Weidenbender. Mason King is out this week. When Benjamin Hanna assembled the schedule for his first season as artistic director of the Indiana Repertory Theater, he placed Little Shop of Horrors as the closing production for the 2023-24 season. The IRT, founded in 1972, had not previously staged Little Shop of Horrors, which debuted in New York in 1982 and was adapted for a 1986 film. Perhaps more noteworthy is that Little Shop of Horrors is a musical. The IRT last staged a traditional Broadway musical in 2013 when Stephen Sondheim's A Little Night Music was part of the schedule. For this edition of the IBJ podcast, arts reporter Dave Lindquist talks with Benjamin Hanna and Little Shop of Horrors cast member Rob Johansson, who preview the production that opens April 17th. Rob has appeared in more than 50 productions at the IRT. This time, he's the puppeteer controlling Audrey II, the otherworldly plant that requires human blood to thrive. Here is their conversation.
I'm Indianapolis Business Journal reporter Dave Lindquist, and I'm happy to welcome to the IBJ podcast two guests to talk about an upcoming presentation of Little Shop of Horrors at the Indiana Repertory Theater. We're joined by Benjamin Hanna, the IRT's artistic director, and Rob Johansson, who's part of the Little Shop of Horrors cast. Hello, Ben and Rob.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Now, you're here on Eclipse Day in Indianapolis. And I wanted to begin by seeing how intentional Ben was in scheduling this season. Because in Little Shop of Horrors, our protagonist, Seymour, sings a song, if I'm correct, in which he references how he acquired this interesting plant, Audrey II, about a week ago when there was a solar eclipse.
Yes.
Did you put all this together that, hey, we're going to be in the path of totality on April 8th, and I have a show that will fit perfectly in that timeline?
No, I did not. It is kind of like a really wonderful coincidence, and maybe somewhere in the back of my mind I knew that when we were programming it, and I was intuiting that that would be wonderful and smart, but not consciously.
I think that's going to be great for the audience to be in the room, and that'll come up, and they'll be like, oh yeah, I remember that solar eclipse.
Yeah, that just happened, yeah. I got a great email from someone recently that said, don't buy plants on Eclipse Day.
Exactly.
To remind me not to buy one, because of course Audrey II is slightly demonic.
Just slightly.
Slightly. Yeah.
A gift from past the sun and moon?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, so all kidding aside, this is a historic production for the IRT. First musical in quite a while. Correct?
Yeah, in over a decade. We did our last musical called A Little Night Music in 2013. So it's been over a decade, and we're so excited to jump back into the musical genre and share this genre with our audiences.
What's your general philosophy on why musicals are appealing to an audience, and why did you pick this one?
I think musicals are appealing to an audience because you're a music lover, and I think many people are. Music has a way of piercing through the armor of our day-to-day in a way that lots of art forms can't. In a way, it feels like a universal language that can reach inside of us and just pull emotion out of us, or clean us, or cleanse us in some way. And that, paired with a really great story, with incredible acting, and musicals also have this heightened sense of joy and despair and sorrow all mixed into one. You kind of ride this incredible roller coaster to the highest highs and the lowest lows, along with a great soundtrack,
yeah,
lots of great bops, and you think about that story more often when you leave often because you hear the music in your head, and that reminds you of the story.
All right, and you're also the director of this production.
I am, yeah.
So could you tell us a little bit about why this particular show is on the schedule?
Yeah, Little Shop of Horrors is pretty multi-generational. You can kind of bring, you know, your, I would say, older child, if, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, make your choice based on whether you want your young person to watch someone be eaten by a plant.
But spoiler.
Spoiler. Sorry.
That's fine.
Sorry. It is. Right. I think it's pretty. You can watch the movie, but the violence is not grotesque in any way. It is just. It's like a B movie, right?
Yeah.
It's really fun. It's a little kitschy, but it still has a lot of heart. And so many people know about this from one of several of the films, and it's also off Broadway right now. It's very popular in actually many regional theaters are doing this show this year. Oh, all over the country.
Interesting.
Maybe they did know
maybe
there was a solar eclipse,
story.
but I didn't, but that's not why we're doing it. But it's such a great entry point back into musicals too, because so many people have an access point to it.
Would you say it's a cautionary tale about be careful what you wish for?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a little bit about be careful what you wish for, but to me, it's more about when we're faced with difficult decisions, where is our moral compass and how far would we go past that moral compass to get what we think we desire? Who would we let go of? I mean, in this case, murder, but also what would we let go of in order to like save our love in our lives? And I think a lot of people destroy their whole lives to like keep their relationship. A lot of people destroy their lives to keep their job or keep a lot of money in their lives. And everything else gets sacrificed. And then you're left alone with this one thing. And Seymour keeps coming into this moment over and over. What is the most important thing in my life? Is it money? Is it safety? What is that thing? So that's what I think it is about. And to me, really, right now, it's about capitalism and money and fame and fortune. And I'm always thinking about TikTok and like people who are completely disregarding any personal interaction anymore. And it's just me deciding what I'm going to put on TikTok today to make my $50 because there's some kind of ad attached to me painting my house or me doing the thing. So,
yeah. Excellent. I appreciate that answer. Rob, you have an unconventional role in Little Shop of Horrors. Tell us about that.
All right. You know, one thing I want to say, though, I love that Ben said it's a cautionary tale, or you said it's a cautionary tale. And the first thing I thought of is, yeah, my wife and I don't have any plants in our house. We've learned our lesson. And those suckers, if a plant comes into our house, I think it instinctually knows it's going to live about a week.
Rob, do you know that I have like 60 plants in my house?
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I have like 60 plants.
So between us, we've
evened out.
We've
yes.
evened it out.
I'm going to give you one now for your house.
Are you worried that do any of them look kind of freaky and exotic and could do some damage?
Many of them do.
Yeah.
And I am always nervous about how difficult it is to keep them alive.
Oh, okay. You're not worried about them eating you?
No.
Okay.
Not
fine.
Right. Now I am.
Yeah, you should. I don't know if they're big. I don't know. Yeah, so my role in this is something that I feel like I've been building up towards my whole career.
Okay.
I always love doing deeply physical roles, physical theater, and they need somebody to operate the puppets, the plants.
Yeah.
And when I was looking at the season, I saw this, and I emailed Ben and said, man, I would really love to get inside those plants. So that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So for the first time doing a show at IRT, I'm really psyched that nobody's going to see me.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how does your time on stage work? There are different iterations of Audrey 2, correct?
Yeah, there's four. Is that four? I guess we
could
call
four.
It four.
Yep.
Yeah. It starts out as a beautiful little baby. That first plant is cute as all get
it's
out.
Cute. It's like many of my house plants. They look really cute.
And then they get you. It's like puppies or kittens. They're like, they are the most adorable little things. And, you know, and they stay pretty adorable, but they do grow up. So the first one that I operate, yeah, is my hand can barely fit inside.
Okay.
And that entire interaction takes place with my body hidden under a counter. You know, as an actor, you go in for costume fittings.
Yeah.
And this was the first, my first costume fitting for this show was to fit me inside a counter. So I'm going to be spending a significant amount of time in a nice cozy studio apartment.
Gotcha.
Yeah. With a hole that my hand can fit and at an opportunity, I don't want to give too much away, but, Dominique, our Seymour, who is just thrillingly awesome. He's got such a beautiful voice. He breaks my heart every day. He walks across with this little baby plant and just casually moves something and puts it down, puts it over a hole, and I man it, and then we're off and running. Yeah.
And the plant grows through the show.
Yes, it does. Seymour discovers some Miracle-Grow in his body and discovers that it really, really helps the plant grow. Yeah.
I love it. I believe on your resume, one of your skills is fight choreographer.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Do you put those skills to use in the show?
Yeah, I do. I'm very, very fortunate that I am not... It's not too advantageous to be in a show that you're choreographing. That's not a great idea.
Right.
Like, I've never understood how people can direct a show that they're in. That blows my mind and scares me. Yeah. So we have somebody from Bloomington, Loraldo. What's Loraldo?
Hans Aldua.
Yes.
Yep.
Who's coming up. He's a movement person at IU. And actually, he and I have been in correspondence for years, and this is the first time that we get to work together.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so he is one of the many outside eyes in this show. We have... Ben's directing, we have a musical director, we have a choreographer, and then we have a fight choreographer and an intimacy director. So there's a lot of people taking care of us.
Yeah. Got it.
Let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsor. This is the IBJ Podcast.
Taft, today's modern law firm, with more than 800 attorneys in 8 primary Midwest markets and the District of Columbia, we provide solutions to the business issues facing middle market and emerging companies alike. We do this through a highly collaborative and inclusive team approach. Taft, the modern law firm. To learn more, visit taftlaw.com.
Welcome back to the IBJ Podcast. Let's rejoin reporter Dave Lindquist's conversation with IRT Artistic Director Benjamin Hanna and Little Shop of Horrors cast member Rob Johansson.
Ben, I spoke with you around the turn of the year, and we were talking about looking ahead to Little Shop of Horrors, and you said you ran into a patron who asked, about the show, and you told her, and she said, "That's my favorite musical. Don't mess it up."
Mm-hmm.
A moment ago, we were talking about kind of the serious threads through the story and everything, but this is fun. This is a fun night at the theater, right?
It's so fun. Murder couldn't be any more fun. There's so much joy in it, and while it is a cautionary tale, sometimes... hard things to learn go down better with a little sugar, right? So that kind of the hardness of the story, there's so much sweetness in the story. There's so much love in the story. You yearn to see these oddball lovers, get their wishes and finally are free of Skid Row and poverty and sadness and neglect. And I think... it's just, I feel like we're rooting for them the whole time. We just want them to win, right? Yeah. We want them to win. And while we see them winning, we also are like, but don't win like that. That's not the right way to win. This is not going to turn out well for you.
Yeah. Even when I'm inside the plant getting ready to do one of my most horrible acts, I'm listening to the singing, and I'm inside the plant crying, honestly. It rips me apart every day. There are a couple of songs in both acts that just cut me significantly. And that's the thing. It's a goofy musical, And yes, it'll rip your heart out because you're rooting for these people. Yeah. So we have a lot of things that we're juggling, and I think successfully.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel strongly that we are not going to mess it up. Mm-mm. I feel we're weeks into rehearsal. It's so incredible. The cast is great. The musicians are incredible. Andrew Burgoyne, our music director, has conducted on Broadway for so many years, and he's a good old pal of mine who came back to kind of help us launch the musical. And to have somebody with such incredible musical theater knowledge and skill guiding the musical portion of this, you know, we can't be in better hands there. So nice. Really excited.
Andrew scored me eating somebody yesterday, which was really cool. I don't know if you call it scoring.
Yeah.
I don't know what term he would put on it, but like there's chewing music and swallowing music. We were looking for belch music, but I don't think we're going to get that.
I think we're going to get a real belch.
But it was so fun to be in a room with this. Andrew is like, he blows me away with, he'll play, his hands are just in a trance all day.
Okay.
And he'll play the score, he'll be with us, and then like during 10-minute breaks, he's doing break music for us. He's just kind of, he loves to just keep playing. And then we got to the point where I was eating somebody, and I had come up with a bit where I had more chomping than the script had. And I saw Andrew kind of light up and Ben light up, and then all of a sudden we're all working together on how do we musically eat somebody? How much fun is that?
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
It's a great gig. Yeah.
Well, we kind of glossed over. You're not seen, and you're also not heard.
Which you're hoping for the rest of this podcast.
Who is belting out the songs in the voice of Audrey 2?
Audrey 2. Alan Sledge, who is, we've never worked together. Mm. And so we are, he's my better half.
Got it.
Yeah, yeah. And he has been about 15 feet away from me in the rehearsal room while I've been in my various apartments, my plant apartments. And he's been belting, and I've been moving to his belt, and we go back and forth, like, you take the lead. Now, if it's something a little more physical, I might take the lead, and we're just trying to figure all that out, and Ben's shaping it. Yeah.
Is that a unique challenge to work with two people kind of in the same role, so to speak?
It would be if they weren't such patient people, because they really have to be patient with one another to learn and repeat and make some really clear decisions together. You know, and when you're working with strong performers who can understand that their success really is predicated on the other person listening to them, it's just all about listening. And these two are great listeners and great at repeating what they've decided together to make Audrey to one being, one alien life form plant versus a body and a voice.
It
should feel like one thing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And the IRT is bringing back the musical in the form of these Alan Menken compositions, like early 60s rock, Motown, doo-wop, again, that's fun, right?
It's so fun, yeah. And so there's the music, but also along with those styles and those genres comes the dance portion too, which the audience gets to witness a whole slew of styles of girl groups and women-empowered groups over time. And the trio who tells the story, they're called the Urchins, that are folks on the street in Skid Row. They really go through a whole kind of epic choreographic journey as well, along with the music. Some of it stays very close to the style of the time, same with the costumes, and some of it departs entirely to other modern groups that are led by women. There's particularly a whole Beyoncé, a nod to Beyoncé and her kind of like powerful women forward groups, which is really incredible.
Of course, Ben, this is your first season as artistic director, and I'm compelled to ask, how's it going?
It's going swell. Yeah, it's going swell. Lots of big changes are happening in the organization, but also, you know, the core of IRT remains the same. Doing great theater for our great community, And really, every year, every season, every show, trying to open the doors wider to make sure everyone in the community knows that it is their theater, that this is the place for all of us, that there are access points for everyone, from $2 tickets through our Access Pass program for those who have that access need, to spaces where community members who have resource can come and support this art and support a great institution doing great work.
Nice, nice. So the dentist role in Little Shop is kind of infamous or a cult classic because on screen it's been portrayed by Jack Nicholson in Corman's 1960 film, I believe, and then Steve Martin in the 80s adaptation. Who's in that role in this production?
His name is Kyle Patrick. He's a Chicago-based actor. Really dynamic and, you know, I'm sure he would not mind me saying quite odd. And we've gone, you know, Kyle's really built a dentist that is a classic narcissist in that he is both incredibly charming and kind of sexy and sweet in a way that you feel like everything is fine until it is not fine. He's a sadistic dentist, which I was talking to my dentist the other day. I was getting my teeth cleaned. Actually, Rob and I go to the same dentist. So we found that out because we were on the opposite sides of the room. And I was like, I hear Rob Johansson.
Best dentist.
And my hygienist said, because of HIPAA, I cannot tell you who's on the other side of the wall. And I was like, well, I know who's on the other side of the wall. That's Rob Johansson. And Rob was like, hey, Ben. But we were talking. I was talking to our dentist. And I said, you should come see Little Shop of Horrors. And she said, I don't think so. That they give dentists a bad rap. Like every time anyone talks about a dentist in that musical, they like look nervous. Like I'm going to come for their mouth.
Wouldn't you love to see our dentist in this role?
I would love to. She's the nicest person on the planet.
I'm so sorry. You're just going to feel a little pinch.
I know, just
so
a little bit.
Sorry.
Would you like a little more Novocaine? Which this dentist in the show would be like, no Novocaine.
That'd be no
Grab
Novocaine.
The drill.
That's right.
Yeah.
Kyle's really great. And that role is, in the musical on stage, plays, I think, 7 different roles in the show.
Oh, wow.
He plays the dentist, and then he moves all around, and he plays everyone else is what the script says. So all the other people, the customers and things in the show as well.
Ben, I'm going to spring this on you. I don't think I told you. I played the dentist a long time ago.
Oh, wow.
Didn't you tell me that once?
I'm not sure because there's, again, a little teeny story for this, if you want.
Did you enjoy that?
Oh, yeah, except for one thing. The director first read through was like, hey, I think it would be really cool if you actually drove a motorcycle on stage. And I was like, I'm down. I was young and like, let's go. Okay, we're going to bring one in. So we go through the rehearsal process and every like once a week, I'm like, are we going to do that motorcycle thing? And it's I don't want to give community theater any bad rap, but it was there was no control, you know. And the guy was like, oh, yeah, stage manager's got a bike. We're going to bring it in. The day before opening, I come in and there's a bike. And I'm like, are you kidding me? The day before. I've never ridden one, you know. So I get on the back. They drive me around the parking lot. Here's the throttle. Here's the gas. Here's the gear shift. And then I switch and I do it. And it goes okay in the parking lot. And then in the run-through, in the final dress, I bring it on. I even make it accidentally go like, do a little skid. And I hear the director like, oh, my God. Great. Do it just like that tomorrow. Opening night. Couple of nerves, you know. I am bringing the bike on, and the guy back then who was operating the plant, he was an ex-professional wrestler. Norman Tarantino. He'd be very happy, I'm sharing his name. This hulking mass of a man. He's dressing a curtain for me, and as I'm bringing the bike around, he slaps me on the back of the shoulder. Go get him, Rob! And he knocks me off balance. So now the bike is going about 3 miles an hour towards the orchestra pit, not where I'm supposed to go on stage, and I'm trying to ride it. I'm nervous. My hands are sweaty. I'm giving it gas, and my hand slips off the throttle, and in first gear, I go and wheelie across the stage and ram into a brick wall in full view of 400 people. I ruin the bike. I break the gas tank. It leaks all over me. And the Ronettes, the urchins, are looking at me like, "Oh, call the ambulance." And I get up and I am laughing. That was great. And I do a 30-second improv because I have no idea where I am. We didn't stop the show. The bike laid there and we carried on. And it was awesome. And I have video, which I will share with you.
You need to share that with the whole cast. Yeah. I want to watch it as a group.
Yep.
Let's talk about the three human characters in the shop. We have the shop owner, and of course, Seymour and Audrey. What can you tell us about the actors in those roles?
Awesome. Well, we'll start with Ryan Artsberger, who is a local fan favorite. People icon. Have seen him in an icon, just like Rob. Over 50 performances at the IRT different shows. And Ryan plays Mushnik, Mr. Mushnik, who's the shop owner. It's wonderful to see Ryan get to tap into his crabby old man self, which definitely exists in him. And he doesn't let it out very often. He's quite a warm and like thoughtful person. But watching him kind of joyously embrace the crabbiness of this guy is pretty awesome. And then we have Audrey, who is somebody who works in the shop, and her name is Lucy Maria Godinez. Lucy's an incredible talent. She, her star is just rising so quickly. She's quite young in her career, but when you see her perform and sing some of these songs, you will just melt. I remember when I watched her audition, I was like, how could you choose anyone other than Lucy for almost any role?
Yeah. Nice.
She's an incredible actor, an incredible vocalist. And also we have Dominique Allen Lawson, who's playing Seymour. And Rob mentioned earlier, Dominique's the sweetest. You're so nervous for him the whole time. He's always messing up. And you just want him to win. You want him to succeed. He's got an incredible voice. And there couldn't be a more kind of perfectly iconic, right on the money Seymour.
Nice.
They're the guys that have me crying in the plant.
Yeah.
Oh my, it tears me up.
And those two have that really beautiful duet, Suddenly Seymour, and the two of them, their voices are just, they blend so gorgeously, and it's awesome.
So you're north of 50 shows at the IRT.
Yep, it's time for old Yeller to
no,
take a walk.
Is there different energy in this full-on musical production when compared to previous things you've done?
Oh, yeah. Every show has a different vibe, different energy to it. And it is really, it's so nice to be in a musical because of that different energy. It's funny, I'm teaching right now at Andersen University, and I was just talking about musicals to my students. And we had this great conversation about why in, you know, a play versus a musical, okay, there is something happening in your life that the absolutely only way you can express it is through singing.
Yeah.
That's badass. The stakes are so high, or my feeling is so intense, that's the only way that I can that I can bring forth what I'm feeling. And I love singing. My voice would be put to shame compared to, you know, Lucy and Dom's. Oh my God. So, like, when I take my dogs for walks at night, I sing my head off.
There's the audience.
Yeah. And yeah, that my dogs put up with it. They howl with me. But, like, I sing songs that I'm like, I need to exercise this beast out of me. And just living in that world where people are so intense that they have to sing about it. And I think everybody in the room is doing a great job of mining that. Full disclosure, I've seen musicals that I'm like, I don't believe you need to sing. And by halfway through, I'm like, there are so many other things I would rather do. This ain't one of them. This is people living close to the bone and having to express in this manner. So I feel really lucky to be a part of this.
Yeah.
All right. So when you look ahead to 2024, 2025, Is there a musical that has a lot of motorcycles that maybe you have on
tap? No motorcycles. I know what the musical is, and there are no motorcycles.
Can we break some news?
We can't, because we're so close. But we are so close that you now are, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably can get this information. It is announced on April 11th.
Nice. Ben, I think I have one more. Just generally, the size and scope of this production, is it more than a typical play at the IRT?
Yes, it is definitely larger. The company's larger. There's a live band that plays, and choreography and multiple costume changes. Some people have eight or nine costume changes during the show in 2 hours, and you know, nine people times even several costumes. That's a lot of costumes. I think people always say like, oh, it's just a play with music. And then when you get in the room and you have all of those elements, it's a really complex puzzle. So the whole building is kind of buzzing. The set is larger. There's a lot of incredible tricks. You know, things disappear, walls move, whole buildings appear before you, and then they disappear. So yes, it is much larger.
And are you feeling glad that you tackled it?
Oh, I couldn't feel more glad. Really, it's really exciting to see it come to life. And the building, everybody in the building, the creative team, the artists, we're just really excited to share the story with people. And I think people are going to come in. Somebody recently told me, I don't think IRT should do musicals. I just don't know if they should do musicals. It feels like maybe that's not their thing. And history does not need to repeat itself all of the time. Just because we haven't done musicals doesn't mean we can't be great at doing musicals. And I promise you, this is us doing great work at the same level of excellence that you see when we do a straight play.
For ticket information for Little Shop of Horrors, visit irtlive.com. The show's run begins April 17th and wraps up on May 19th. Thank you, Ben and Rob, for your time today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. See you at the theater, everyone.
Thanks again to Dave, Benjamin, and Rob. If you want more arts and entertainment news, make sure to sign up for Dave's weekly newsletter called After Hours. It's a Thursday afternoon wrap-up of the latest in music, performance, arts, and events. Go to ibj.com to sign up. But one note, you must be an IBJ subscriber to receive the email. If you're not already a subscriber, we have an incredible deal for you. You get unlimited access to IBJ and Inside Indiana Business for just $1 a week for 3 months. In addition to After Hours, you'll be able to sign up for several other subscription-only emails, including North of 96th, focused on Hamilton and Boone counties, and The Rundown, which is packed with the latest in politics. Go to ibj.com/intro-promo to get the deal. Again, that's ibj.com/intro-promo, all one word. Thanks for joining us. Mason King will be back next week.